What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. Tonight, I'd like to announce a new sponsor for our show, James Boomy, a writer of speculative fiction, has generously chosen to partially sponsor us along with the World News Trust and Spiritual UN. There'll be more information about James Boomy and his writing on our site and also at his website, June2508.com. Lately, we've been having a number of primary elections for the Republicrats. There are a bunch of strange people running, and I can't say that I like any of them very much. I'm not sure. I have mixed feelings about Ron Paul, and I dislike all the others. So we'll see what happens. It doesn't look as though Ron Paul is going to be coming out on top, though. I'm not convinced that elections that anybody really counts the votes in it anymore, and I'm not at all convinced that we're still a democracy, but we'll see. In other news, we continue to wage war all over the world, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. In fact, they're really strongly gearing up for something in Iran. It looks same kind of junk that they did when they were getting ready to go into Iraq. Just do the same thing over and over, lie to us, make up things that are supposed to be horrible about various countries so that we should go over there and destroy the country. Really doesn't make any sense to me. But we all know it's just to make money. What's up with the Occupy movement? I haven't seen anything about the Occupy movement in some time. If anybody knows, drop us a note and tell me what's going on. That's about all I have today. A little shorter than sometimes, but I'm going to turn the show over now to my friend and co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck, how's it going down there in Florida? We're finally getting some winter weather here in Duluth. It's going to get about 10 below it. Finally, I kind of like that cool weather. Tonight we welcome Janet Heller. Janet is a college instructor. I think it's Western Michigan University. She's a poet and author, and we're going to also welcome Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is an old friend. He's done a lot of things, but primarily, he is one of the primary JFK 9/11 researchers in the country. We owe the country doesn't know it, but it owes quite a debt to Jim Fetzer. So we're coming to you tonight from Vancouver, Duluth, Fort Lauderdale, Portage, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin. I have to say also that today I was in a convenience store, and I saw the National Enquirer on the stand, and it had a picture of JFK and Jackie, the full cover picture, and the headline was that they tell who killed JFK, and it wasn't Oswald. And so here, how many years later, we're finally getting closer to the truth with the National Enquirer. You know, you would never see that in a mainstream newspaper, even this many years later. And I keep harping on the JFK assassination, but it tells a lot about our country, how we still don't deal with that. And it doesn't allow us to deal with so many other things. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those you may have noticed who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty, their relatives having sent them to Siberia simply with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The New American Dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No black military budget that's hidden. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. And not to say that there aren't these things, but we don't accept that. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be an America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long tenure, war, and debacle to trial and put on TV, just like O.J., every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies, we subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was, of course, an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, et al., they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country, because our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. Those who we have asked to ask questions for us, such as the mainstream news, have not done their job. The troops are not protecting us. That is someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, and someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face-to-face with the empire, such as those in the Occupy movement. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq, of course, had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 elections. And see, there in that hole in Shanksville, there's a plane in that hole. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, and no luggage scattered, or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. We all remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Two letters. Both of them included that phrase, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. It's like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid, but we cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
And now it's time for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? The American dream. Time to wake up. You're not sleeping. It's daytime. You look out your window. Robins, squirrels, wiener dog poop. Fair to partly cloudy. And it's all a fairy tale. You're inside a children's book with dragons and monsters and evil kings and queens. You're a character inside someone else's made-up book. How do we come to this, my neighbor? We have fake history, boys and girls. Our junior high and high school history books should be in italics, handed out by the teacher on the first day with a wink. Remember the Maine, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, moon landing, stolen election. But to talk about conspiracy or government lying in the United States, it's like being a person who spent the day upstairs alone writing poetry and steps out onto the corner to hand those poems out to passersby. Because we accepted the Warren Commission, so we got the 9/11 What Control Demolition Commission, and our children will get the XYZ non-investigation by rich people covering up for other rich people. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Somebody said that. We have not been vigilant. We were watching TV. We think the country runs on cruise control, the heavy lifting having been done earlier in the morning by those who gave us the 8-hour day, the minimum wage, and ended war. They suffered, they struggled, they died, that we might be free. That's where our thanks should go, where our examples lie, not in the military. This is not a democracy. It's something other, based on wealth and power and prestige and celebrity. Those in power are not really concerned with the truth. They're really concerned with remaining in power, and anything they do is based on that. The poor are ridiculed, persecuted, and hunted down in America. The chase sounded by barking pigs on the radio. America is not inherently benign. They don't say that in most American high schools and colleges. Most Americans are ignorant of their own history. We let the Bush government get away without investigating 9/11 until over a year later, then putting through a whitewash and calling it good enough. So we're at war, seemingly everywhere, in the service of rich men and women seeking to become richer, not in the service of single mothers working three jobs, taking their kids to daycare at 5 a.m., not in the service of desperate young people seeking out the military for some perverted kind of hope in life. We need to ask questions, our own selves. Because the ones we thought were asking the questions are actually working with the other side, the CIA. We need to hold signs, sit in congressional offices, pound on missile silos, refuse to pay taxes, or it will never stop. They did not stop the war in Vietnam because it was the right thing to do, only because they were forced to, by good, hardworking people who believed in themselves, who gave themselves a chance to succeed by walking out the front door, down to the corner, handing out their poems, holding up their sign in the neighborhood. And I just wanted to say, thanks for all that you do. I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. Tonight's first guest is a poet and author who teaches at Western Michigan University in Portage, Michigan. Her name is Janet Heller. Janet, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad to welcome you to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Thanks. I have looked forward to being on the show.
Well, good. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I have a doctorate from the University of Chicago, and I have taught at 8 different colleges and universities, and I've taught both English and women's studies courses. I published a book for kids called How the Moon Regained Her Shape. It's about bullying, and it won 4 national awards, which was very exciting. And my newest book is Traffic Stop, which is a poetry collection. And it's many of the best poems that I've ever written in my life, and it has a number of different themes. A lot of it is about being an assertive woman and not cooperating with authority figures. So I thought I might read you a poem that sort of captures some of the attitude in the book.
I was hoping you would.
It's called Getting My Mouth Washed Out. And it starts with my interaction with my paternal grandmother, who loved me very much and spent a lot of time with me, but she had a quick temper. And this poem is about conflict between us, which set a pattern for my interactions with authority figures. So it's called Getting My Mouth Washed Out. Once my grandmother got very angry when I argued with her. I was a 5-year-old who did not know her place. So she told me to open my mouth, and then she put a bar of soap inside. 46 years later, I still remember that awful taste. But I didn't stop arguing with her or anyone else. I've argued with teachers, parents, rabbis, politicians, and bosses if they try to limit my freedom or curtail other people's rights. I've lived long enough to see some reforms. So here's my advice to other rebellious kids. If someone threatens you with a bar of soap, keep talking so fast that no one can ever wedge a stopper in your mouth. So that's my advice.
I like it.
A little bit subversive, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. You have some more for us?
Yes. I thought I'd read a little bit different one. I wrote this when I was living in Chicago, and I moved into an apartment with a ferociously detailed lease. Mm. And at the same time, a friendship and a love relationship had crumbled. And when I was walking around looking for an apartment, I saw a woman being evicted. So I wrote this poem. It's called Attempted Eviction. Whereas you have occupied my heart beyond the terms of your lease, and whereas you have violated Clause 4, which specifies that tenant must obtain landlord's written consent before a lock may be installed on said apartment door, inasmuch as rent has not been tendered for landlord's affection since May of last year, I hereby evict you from my dreams. That's about the closest I'll ever come to law enforcement, I think. So I sort of imagine evicting someone I love from my heart the way I saw someone being evicted. And it's a lot harder to do emotional evictions, I think, than to do physical evictions.
I think
they're
you're
both
right.
Sort of harsh and cruel.
Yeah.
So the poems range over a lot of different topics in the book. I was involved in the anti-Vietnam War movement, so I have some poems about that. I had an altercation with a policeman who stopped me for turning left on a yellow light, and I have a poem about that. I have a lot of poems about being a teacher, love relationships, nature, traveling, my family, what it's like to be a writer, and also about folk music. So those are some of the topics in the book. It's been very exciting for me because I've wanted to publish a poetry collection for a long time, and so I've finally achieved my goal very recently, and that's very exciting to me.
Where can people find your book?
It's available through Amazon. It's also available through the publisher, Finishing Line Press, which is located in Georgetown, Kentucky. But they have a website which has a page devoted to me and my book and my activities.
Well, good. Do you have any other, do you have any readings or anything coming up that you'd like to tell people about?
Yes, I'll be giving a reading at the Barnes & Noble in Portage, Michigan, on Saturday, January 21st at 1 p.m. And I'll also be giving a reading at the Kalamazoo, Michigan Public Library on Tuesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. with two other poets who are friends. And I'll also be speaking in early February at the Wisconsin State Reading Association Conference. I'll be speaking about teaching kids about poetry writing, and I'll also be talking about many different books that deal with bullying to help teachers teach students not to bully. I was bullied when I was a child, so I've done a lot of anti-bullying work. It's something I feel really, really strongly about.
All right.
So I've
done
a lot of research on good books and videos for kids that help them deal with bullying, plus my own book, How the Moon Regained Her Shape, also helps kids to deal with bullying and to recover if they've been bullied.
Well, it's been very nice visiting with you on the show, and I hope that you'll stop by again sometime, maybe in a couple months. And
thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. Well, thank you, and good night.
Good night.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. The following interview was conducted at the Hungry High in San Francisco on Monday, March 18, 1968, between the editor of the Underground Argo newspaper and comedian Mort Saul. Argo asking the question, why is the truth behind the assassination of President Kennedy the last chance of America for its survival?
Saul responds, because the evidence developed by the District Attorney Garrison indicates that certain people had to take President Kennedy's life in order to control ours. In other words, as Richard Starnes of the New York World Telegram said, the shots in Dallas were the opening shots of World War III. There's been a great change in this country since Kennedy. I'm afraid a great deal of our hope was interred with his remains.
What is the long, hard night that America must go through that you've spoken of?
You have to hang on through a period of military and CIA with a blank check trying to sell fascism. If you can hang on long enough, Americans may yet live in the country in which they were born, the country structured by Tom Paine and Tom Jefferson.
What is the renaissance following this long, hard night that you also spoke about?
We'll start pursuing the American dream again. I don't know if we'll ever realize it, but we're supposed to have the right to pursue it. That's what this country is. It's an active exercise in man reaching its upper limit. And the renaissance will be that a groundswell of public opinion will flush out the rascals, because the CIA has infiltrated every area of our national life. I'm afraid the country they subverted best was the United States, be they in the various right-wing churches or in the Dallas Police Department.
What will make the American people face themselves and, to use your expression, rise up like an army?
Well, they have very decent instinct. If they didn't, the government would not have to hide the facts from them. And so once the truth is revealed to them, they're no longer under a cloak of ignorance. Public opinion will change things. There will be a groundswell. These people will resign or be lost in the shuffle. But you know, the country was structured so that we could have violent change without violent overthrow. I'm very optimistic in that sense. The principles of America may be better than the group currently practicing or ignoring them, as you will. But the country has great resilience, and once they get the information, they may yet have time to save themselves.
Why is the trial that Mr. Garrison is pursuing really the trial of the American people?
Because we have to decide. Once the neo-fascists become bold enough to slay the president on the street, they showed their hand. They showed how arrogant they had become. Now it's a question of symptoms. That crime was a national symptom. If we can turn our back on that, we will pay a terrible price. It will be the end of this democracy. As a matter of fact, it's been dying since Kennedy's death. We have to cleanse our soul. It's much the same as the French when they regained their national honor, not by framing Dreyfus, but by admitting that they did.
What does Garrison mean? The key to the whole case is through the looking glass, black as white. White is black.
He means that the first thing the government did when the president was killed was to ratify his death and appoint a group of honorable men to initial a fraudulent report, to eventually say there is no forced bullet, even though there's a forced bullet hole. The man was shot at from three sides, but there was only one side. In other words, the government decrees it is so. And eventually the government may be forced to form a ministry of truth, which will rule there was no John F. Kennedy, if it becomes convenient. That's what he means. When Lyndon Johnson says to us, as an example, we have to continually keep up brushfire wars to protect the peace. Well, that's Orwell. War is peace, and peace is war, and love is hate. And you finally sell it just that way, the contradiction. And you do it by making the American people mad because those are the mouthings of a madman. We can be driven mad. It's the same virus that bit the Germans.
I'd now have the honor of welcoming our second guest, Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer has done a lot of things in his life. But I think his primary role right now is as the conscience or the researcher of America. He is just a national treasure. He's done a lot of work, and someday everyone will know that. We'd like to welcome to the New American Dream Jim Fetzer. Jim, are you there?
Mike, I am, and I'm very pleased to be on this show with you, and I'm very glad you have such a show. It's terrific.
How you doing? Are you in Madison tonight? Is that where you're at?
Yes. Since I retired from the University of Minnesota Duluth in 2006, we moved to a small village just south of Madison, and I'm speaking from there now.
What's on your mind right now? What's foremost? What's What are you working on, or what would you like to talk about? I know there's
well,
so many
I think
things
one of the
about.
Foremost issues involves Iran and the fact that we have a series of Republican presidential candidates, considering this is the highest office in our land, who seem to be abysmally ignorant about the history of the region and international law. What stuns me, Mike, is that we have Matt Romney and this guy Rick Santorum both talking about first strikes on Iran when Iran poses no threat whatsoever to the United States. In fact, Iran hasn't attacked any country for at least 300 years. It has a military defense budget of less than $8 billion. We have a defense budget of around $1 trillion. We have 800 bases around the world. Iran has none. There's no evidence that Iran is actually building a nuclear weapon, but in my opinion, they would be entitled to have one. They have signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They have agreed to have inspectors in their country. Israel, however, has 200 to 600 nuclear weapons, has not signed the Nuclear Non-Aggression Treaty, and refuses to allow inspectors into its country. The situation, in my opinion, is simply appalling.
It seems like things are happening just as they're supposed to if you're a neocon. I mean, isn't this what they... What some of us think they had in mind when they rigged the election of George Bush and leading toward 9/11, isn't this all going according to plan? And what can we do about it?
Well, there may indeed be a plan, an Israeli plan, which is to reconstruct the Middle East, take these larger, more sophisticated Arab states and break them down into smaller states based on religious and sectarian lines, so they're constantly feuding, where Israel then has unchallenged dominance of the Middle East. In fact, a representative for the American Enterprise Institute recently acknowledged that nuclear weapons have nothing to do with it, that their concern is simply that Iran is going to acquire a greater sphere of influence in the Middle East, and that is what is troubling them. Once again, therefore, we see the American government and American politicians compounding one lie with another. We're replicating what we were told about Iraq regarding weapons of mass destruction. Iraq didn't have them. Now we're being told that Iran is trying to build nuclear weapons, but not very long ago, 16 American intelligence agencies all agreed in the assessment that Iran was not seeking to develop nuclear weapons. But, Mike, the situation is even more appalling. I mean, these people who are candidates for president seem to be ignorant of the history of international law. The Hague Convention of 1899, for example, to which we in Iran are parties, established a permanent court of arbitration at The Hague and made it the duty of signatories of the treaty to participate there and attempt to resolve it. Also, Iran and the United States are both signatories of the Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact of 1928, which states that the high contracting parties agree that the settlement or solution of all disputes or conflicts of whatever nature or of whatever origin they may be, which may arise among them, shall never be sought except by pacific or peaceful means. And, of course, we belong to the United Nations, which states that countries at odds must seek peaceful resolutions, that no country is entitled to attack another country unless it's threatened with an imminent attack itself, which is manifestly not the case. So we have we have all these candidates for the Republican nomination, with the one exception of Ron Paul, who seemed to be completely oblivious of international law and ignorant of the facts of the situation. And yet these are among the candidates that are being applauded by Republicans in Iowa and in New Hampshire. In my opinion, the situation is a travesty.
But it doesn't really, matter what the law says. I mean, if they're going to have their war, they're going to have it. Obama doesn't ask anybody if, you know, if he just wants to bomb someone. The law doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? I mean, especially international law. That's just a parlor game, isn't it? I mean, it shouldn't be, but...
This country is supposed to stand for something, Mike. It's supposed to stand for the rule of law. It's supposed to stand for international law by becoming signatories to these treaties, including with the United Nations. They have the same status as the Constitution. There are articles of the Constitution that state explicitly that treaties into which the United States enters have the same standing as the supreme law of the country, the Constitution itself. Therefore, those who are advocating these attacks in reckless disregard of the treaties into which the United States has entered are violating the Constitution and subverting it. Barack Obama himself, by signing the National Defense Authorization Act for 2012, violated several articles of the Bill of Rights and betrayed his own oath of office, in which he solemnly declared that he would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He has now violated that oath, and for that reason, I have initiated a petition to impeach him as President of the United States. If anyone wants to find the petition, it's a petition to impeach Barack Hussein Obama as President of the United States. Do a search and you'll be able to find it.
Do they go to your website or just as you said, just Google?
No, just do a search, internet search. It's not on my website. It's a petition that's out there and anyone can find it. If they want to know more about my articles, Mike, my work, my most recent articles are being archived at Veterans Today, where I am a columnist. So they can just enter, do a search on Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, and they'll find many articles about 9/11, JFK, and a host of other important and controversial issues, including one about NDAA entitled From America with a C to America with a K, The End Game, which I co-authored with Dennis Camino. Read it, and you'll discover that we have a host of FEMA camps being constructed around the country. Actually, they're already in place, and now the Army is recruiting for internment specialists, Mike. These camps have an estimated capacity to hold 15 million American citizens in detention endlessly, indefinitely, with no legal representation. Anyone who wants to understand what's going on to this country and our deterioration into a fascist police state should read that article.
I would say in my research that your radio show, Kevin Barrett's radio show, and Veterans Today are kind of the go-to places, the cutting edge, the leading edge of all the news that's coming out today. Would you agree with that? Or?
Well, I appreciate those thoughts, Mike. We're certainly willing to address the hard issues, the complex issues, the controversial issues that the national media is not willing to cope with or is deliberately subverting and suppressing. So I would also mention then that you can access my radio archives, where there are over 300 two-hour in-depth discussions of these complicated questions at radiofetzer.blogspot.com.
To me, this is all connected from November 22nd, 1963, and I don't think that's overstating it. Could you kind of, in the time we have left, make that connection if you care to?
Mike, we have discovered that there are more than 15 indications of Secret Service complicity in setting him up for the hit, that the CIA military, mafia, anti-Castro Cubans, and local law enforcement, the Dallas Police and Sheriff's Department, participated in his assassination. The FBI was used to cover it up. J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson were principals with financing from Texas oilmen. The fact of the matter is that they feared JFK. He wanted to end these wars. He wanted to bring our troops home from Vietnam. He wanted to reform or abolish the Fed. He'd already instructed the Department of Treasury to print United States notes. in the millions of dollars, which was going to curtail America having to pay interest for printing its own money, which he thought was absurd. He was threatening to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Bobby was cracking down on organized crime. Jack was threatening, planning to cut the oil depletion allowance that gives a huge tax write-off to oil men. If you look at American history, none of that has changed since then. We're still engaged in wars to appropriate the natural resources of other countries. The Fed is still with us and doing this nation untold harm. The CIA is extending its octopus tentacles all over the world. We're still in bad shape. If the policies of JFK had not been replaced by the policies of Lyndon Johnson, this country would be far better off. We'd be healthier, wealthier, happier, more peaceful, less engaged in war. It's because those interests have continued to exert their malevolent influence that we are where we are today, Mike. I am so sorry to say.
Jill, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight, and thank you for all your work. And before we go, could you again tell people where they can go to find your writings?
Yes, my most recent articles, including on JFK, 9/11, the National Defense Authorization Act, and so forth, can be found at Veterans Today. Just do a search on Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, and they'll pop up. And if you want to go to my radio archive, where there are over 300 in-depth discussions of controversial issues, go to radiofetzer.blogspot.com. Mike, I can't thank you enough, and I think it's terrific that you have this show on the air.
Jim, thanks very much for being here, and especially thank you for your work, and have a good night, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much.
Yep, see you later.
Bye.
3. What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Remember the night of the Clinton inaugural balls? I do. The singing, the dancing, the smiling, the dreams, the hopes. Remember how they gave up on health care? Remember the omnibus crime bill, the construction of dozens of new prisons? Remember the bombing of Yugoslavia for 70 days? Remember the Welfare Reform Act, the end of ADC, NAFTA, the end of jobs in America? Do you remember the pardon of Leonard Peltier? Drug running by the CIA in Mena, Arkansas. Gary Webb reports about that in the Mercury News, and later he's murdered. The sanctions on Iraq that killed 1 million people. The reversal of Glass-Steagall, which is all about the 99% and the 1% in today's headlines. I won't ask, and please don't tell me, if you voted for William Jefferson Clinton. Hope, change, elect Barack Obama. Remember the Democratic Party? John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. We thought everything was possible, probable, and then they blew it all away. Clinton and Obama got the message, wouldn't you say? Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. I believe in yesterday.
And now it's time for our daily civics lesson. Today's topic, constitutional checks and balances. There are three branches in the United States government as established by the Constitution. First, the legislative branch makes the law. Second, the executive branch executes the law. And last, the judicial branch interprets the law. Each branch has an effect on the other. Well, you've got your impeachment power and your power to declare war and your power to initiate constitutional amendments. And then you've got your veto power and revenue bills and overrides and appointments. And check this. Check that. Right. Hey. Kids, come here. Get out of those primary colored plastic chairs. Come sit here on the floor. My last day anyway. Tomorrow I'm going to swim to Canada if I can find the river. Get me this rheumatism looked at and an eye checkup and maybe a heart transplant if they got any that'll fit this old American body. But listen, this is the way it is. This is the world. This is reality. Get over it. Get around it. Or get used to it. If the president wants to bomb some country, kill some people, he does it. The military or the police or anyone in government wants to put some people in jail, well, they do it. The CIA, the FBI, or the Pentagon want to do something, but they don't think you'll like it, well, they just tell the newspapers and TV news and radio to lie to you, and then they do it. And you work your nine jobs to pay for all this, and if you don't like it and you want to do something about it, you're afraid if you do something about it, something bad will happen to you or your kids, or you'll lose your nine jobs, and then where would you be? But you do it anyway, wondering when will the guys in black come visit you and cut off your electricity and your arms and your legs. And you wonder, are they even going to cut off? Well, you know. I think I heard where they cut off other people's, And you're watching and wondering, and they're standing around watching you wonder and worry, and then you realize these guys are very, very good. They already did it.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Solomon Sendak, an unknown Mount Liberty rider, took off, was it last spring? In his green 76 Pontiac Bonneville on a tour around the country to sell his books, which he has self-published, and not even his wife or children know about the books, even though on several occasions he has told them that he has given an all rights to his books and proceeds to them in his will. They just look up for a moment, grin, and say, oh, Daddy, and go back to their phones. Solomon Sendak sent back accounts of his travels in columns he wrote for the local newspaper. He sent them by email, and they didn't get printed. And when he returned and went to ask about that, the editor agreed to put them up now on the newspaper website in the local crime section whenever there's room.
Hello and goodbye, Canada. Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself? I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I rehabilitated myself. I mean, I'm sitting here on the bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the Army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. Love Alice's restaurant. Pembina Port of Entry. Oh, Canada. I'm back. Did you even notice I was gone? I was in Canada from about 3:30 p.m. to about 5:15 p.m. this afternoon. I was trying to get into Canada to go to my book reading in Winnipeg tonight at Mondragon Books. They asked me at the window who I was, what I was doing, where I was going, what kind of books did I write, what I was thinking. Political fiction. Why? Well, then they sent me inside. Park under the ramp. Talk to the customs people. Well, no. Go over there instead to the immigration folks. I can do that. How you doing, eh? How about that red-green show, huh? I mean, eh? You, You know, I love that show. I want to move to Canada sometime. You folks seem like nice people. You count your votes here, right? How do you feel about anthrax? Do you have a passport? No, I didn't think you had. I thought that was next year's birth certificate. How do I know you're really an American citizen if all you have is a Nebraska driver's license? Hey, how about those maple leaves, huh? You skate? I can't skate. I wish I could skate. Have you ever been arrested? But I never learned. Yeah, I guess. Hey, lots of ducks around here, right? I used to hunt. I don't hunt anymore. But it gets cold up here. Sit down. There. Here?
Well, I guess you guys are stuck with me now. I always thought Canada was kind of an option. You know, go up there and sit in the park, feed breadcrumbs to the moose. But now it looks like this is kind of it. Canada kicked me out because I have been to prison for protesting against the United States military at Offutt Air Force Base. I thought they would appreciate something like that. I thought Canadians were different. Well, the young woman immigration officer agent takes my papers, Nebraska driver's license, back to some room down the immigration hall and disappears for about half an hour while mom and pop back to Winnipeg from the winter in Miami get high fives from the immigration and customs staff, and I'm over here sitting over in the corner on the Group W bench. The young woman Canadian person came back and told me to come through the swinging doors with her and please step into the second open door on the right. 1, 2. We sit down and she explains that I can pay $200 to make an application to get considered to enter Canada. Then the application will be studied and a determination will be made as to whether I have been rehabilitated enough to sit in a borrowed rowboat and drink Moosehead beer.
Then I am escorted out of the building. Young immigration woman keeps my dissolute Nebraska driver's license in her hand, tells me where I need to turn around to head back to wherever the hell I came from. She will only hand me back my license as I pass by her in my car as she stands on the sidewalk. I then drive back the quarter mile or so to the United States Immigration Complex, a cruise acquaintance I cannot wait to make. The American immigration window woman asks me why Canada won't take me. She directs me to garage number 2, where I wait until the door opens, and American immigration man motions me inside. He asks me why Canada won't take me. Mrs. American immigration woman stands close by. They both have on fresh protective gloves, kind of a robin's egg blue. He asks what Air Force base I protested at that got me sent to prison, and I tell him. He asks if I've ever been to Fort Benning, the School of the Americas. I say no, but I'd like to go there sometime. Mr. American immigration man, young fat blonde boy with crew cut, does not smile. He is smelling the money in my billfold. He directs me to the waiting room. I know that's what it is because it says the waiting room on the door.
I can see the chairs inside. I go sit down in one of the chairs and look toward where Mr. and Mrs. immigration persons are ruffling through my undies and political fiction books. I can't see them because of the one-way window. You can't watch them as they search your vehicle. I can hear slamming and clanking and something like dirty socks being sniffed by a drug-smelling Mrs. Immigration American woman, and I try not to imagine her walking into the waiting room with a smile on her face holding a bag of marijuana. And then they have me. They can put me in Leavenworth or Butterworth or whatever new below-ground federal prison they have these days, and they never have to hear me talking about how Bush did 9/11 and killed Wellstone ever again. The door opens. Mr. New Immigration Man, the other one must have gone home for the day, says that I'm set to go. Turn right at the end of the drive and head back to wherever the hell you came from. Can I have the paper from the country of Canada that says why I can't come in? No, we keep that. I turn right, head back to Grand Forks.
I look at the sheet on my passenger seat that Miss Immigration Canadian Person Woman gave me. It's a list of Canadian consulates in the United States. That's where I need to send the $200 to get them to study me to see if I'm rehabilitated enough to fish in a decent lake. I wonder how they would make their determination. Are you glad you broke the law? Yes. Do you support the United States? Well, no, not really. We suck. Our military is a bunch of thugs, paid killers. No money should go to them. In fact, I sent a crossed-out tax form to the IRS in Kansas City before I left home on this book tour. Well, son, it looks like you will never see Thunder Bay, ever, in your lifetime. I think we're through here. We'll take those flapjacks with us and the flannel shirt to Cedar Logs. I told the woman with a smile that I was not rehabilitated while we were sitting inside the second open door on the right. I thought being Canadian and all, she would understand what I meant. I wouldn't even try that line down the road with the Americans. They'd be like, what? Hey, go Packers. I really thought Canada would be different. You know, like another country. Go Maple Leafs.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs. All the Democrats are cowards. And all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, Catholic school crossing guards are about average.
And that wraps up another New American Dream radio show. Be sure to stay tuned right here for Black Op Radio, featuring our producer, Lena Thanet. It comes up right after our show. We hope you'll visit our sponsors, World News Trust and Spiritual UN, and our new sponsor, James Boomy. And tell them you heard about them here. Visit us at theshow.newamericandream.info, and there's links there to all of our other sites. That's all. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.